All right, baby. Let's go, Joe. Uh-huh.
It's all you, Bob. I thought for a moment that was live. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Let's switch sports, shall we, Bob? We have situations brewing here. And if we don't, we should have situations brewing with Pat Narduzzi and Mike Sullivan. Let's start with the Pitt football program. I have an unbelievable number here, researched by the Savvy Old News Sound. Somebody else may have put this out there. Crowley may have said it today because I was texting with him the other day, running these numbers past him. We all know the Pickett year happened, and it was great, right?
Right.
Awesome. They still lost three games, but it was awesome to see Pitt winning a conference championship on television, ticker tape after the game, Pitt flags waving in the crowd after they beat Wake Forest, a signature play that the whole country was talking about, a fake slide by Kenny Pickett. That was awesome. And this stat is not meant to take that away because it happened. And Narduzzi deserves a lot of credit for that year. You know, some things worked out in his favor, whatever. Pickett stayed there a long time. Narduzzi coached that team that year. He's part of the staff that recruited Kenny Pickett. However, and this is a big however, aside from that year, you listening, Limits? I know you're a big Pitt fan. Aside from that year, in his past 7 years, Pat Narduzzi is 38-41 against major college competition. Did you hear that?
I saw that and I knew that. And yeah, not only that, the defensive numbers, which is supposed to be his forte, are not good.
38-41 against, you know, not including the Woffords and Youngstown State, right. So against major college competition. He has a losing record the 7 years besides the Pickett year.
And this is 10 years for him.
That's unreal. Can you look up, Limits, how long Narduzzi's contract extension runs through? Because, Bob, if I'm Pat Narduzzi, I don't know that I'm feeling great about my job security right now.
Well, he signed through 2030, so maybe he should.
But see, that's the problem with those kind of contracts. Now you have a new AD in town. And he
not only a new AD, an AD that fired Gus Malzahn after 8 years at Auburn, even though he was 68-34 and had some similar. Right now, I know there may be different expectations and all that. Point is, Malzahn received a buyout of $21.7 million, and I know it's different here. Don't get me wrong. But he has fired somebody who some people would say was fairly successful, at least at their school. So money situations can always be resolved. Sometimes they're not. What do you think will happen here? Not what you would do. Do you think Allen Green steps in and fires Narduzzi? Because in my opinion, at this point, I think, and I just wrote before, let me see, last season, that Narduzzi was getting it done. And now that has unraveled. And then you look at the pre-Pickett Heisman run years, and you see it's a pretty long stretch with just one really, really good blip on there, right?
Yeah, I mean, he recruited him, Pickett. He has him. He took advantage of his abilities. They surrounded him with some playmakers. But that was one really special season, whereas he's had nine others. And, you know, I know it's difficult given – especially now with NIL money and transfer portal. But the bottom line is he has been the central figure here for 10 years, and the same things that seem to ail them haven't really changed. Their defense is not good at shutting down talented teams. They just aren't, and that's supposed to be the one thing. Now, they've had some pretty good playmakers on those defenses as well individually, but they haven't done it collectively. And then offensively, I always think they have some talent there, but if for whatever reason it doesn't manifest itself into big wins at big times.
three losses at least every year since, what, 82?
Right, it's the same. We're talking about the same every single year. Now we have four after seven wins in a row. I think seven wins was misleading. I said it at the time, and a lot of people didn't like the fact that I was crying. And I wasn't trying to take anything away from him, but in the West Virginia game and the Cincinnati game, they were dead both times. They came back, had some fortune, they created some breaks, and they won those games. Those should have been two losses as well, and maybe that was an indication of what they really were. You know, they took advantage of the rest of their schedule, and then once the schedule cranked up, they haven't been able to respond.
Limits, you're a big Pitt fan. Do you know what Narduzzi's record is against major college competition since Pickett left town?
Well, I imagine that it has to be under 500.
It is. It's 16-17. Like, I've always maintained. In fact, I gave up the ship, Bob, at one point with Ron right in the room here. I said, I've spent so much column space and so much breath talking about how Pitt has another level to get to. Maybe it just doesn't. Maybe Walt, Wani, Paul Christ even, maybe, and certainly Narduzzi. But really those three, Walt, Wani, Narduzzi. It's just give me winning seasons. Give me every once in a while a 10-win season. I feel like I readjusted my sights on what's realistic for Pitt. But this ain't it. Like, this is below that standard. There is a large sampling of seasons now where they're just incredibly mediocre. That one year, the 11-3 year, really saved Pat Narduzzi, I think. Since then, he's 16-17. That's not what I was talking about when I said I readjusted my sights. I think I would move on from Pat Narduzzi after this season if I could. And I wonder what Alan Green is thinking. Do you guys agree? Would you move on from Narduzzi?
I probably would, yes, at this point. But again, he has a lot of money left in buyouts. That contract
I know.
That he got is a big one. They're having enough problems with NIL money. I don't know how they come up with the money they need to keep certain players or go out in that transfer portal and get certain players.
You're actually probably right, Bob.
And so
you're
I think they're
right.
Going to wait until that changes.
I think that, why is my wife calling me during the show again, Bob?
Your wife's calling you during the show.
During
hey,
the show.
Joe, can you get some milk on the way home?
Bob! What was I saying?
That because of the money, the money. That's a lot of money, to pay him.
And here's the thing.
And boosters have to come up with this
money.
The
whole Heather Like thing was about money. They've overextended themselves on the big project over there already.
I don't know if that was all her fault, by the way.
Well, I didn't say that, but I said money is a reason that they moved on. They need more of it. And she's at least partially implicated here.
I think it goes above her pay grade.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think a project like that is something that, just me. I don't know.
All right. Either way, point being, Pitt is overextended on that project, it would appear.
They're overextended.
They're not exactly swimming in money, so they may have to keep Pat Narduzzi for financial purposes. Does that make sense?
What would his buyout be? What would his buyout be? It's got to be significant, right? Since he signed through 2030.
Can you call the Noah Constrictor? Or no, he doesn't cover them anymore. Who does? Destiny's Child?
Chris Carter.
Carter Country, Bob.
Yeah,
him.
I mean, I got to believe it's an excess.
Look, there's my wife bringing in my lunch. Look out there. And my daughter's suitcase. We're going to Buffalo today. Do you see that, Bob, out the window?
I see Susie. Look at
that. I see.
Is that why she called you?
Yeah, she's here.
Totally oblivious to the fact that you're working? Or what is this?
Is that not your luggage?
You're going to have to take over this conversation because she's going to... What did Ann call me last week? if I don't go down there and meet her real quickly.
You should.
That's
it.
I'll be right back.
That's okay. I understand. Domestic tranquility is on the line here. Anytime you have that opportunity, you got to take it and run with it. But I just think they're in a quandary here with this money situation, Austin. They are. They can't afford to do that. Bring in a new coach and pay that coach and then try to figure out the NIL formula because I think it's going to be really difficult on them moving forward.
Well, and I mean, we know that the financial constraints that they're in right now with Victory Heights, do you really want to do something else where you have to eat a huge chunk of money for Pat Narduzzi, who they seemingly are very committed to, very much like, I mean, at least Heather Like did. I can't see it happening this year. I think Alan Green will give Narduzzi another year.
And I would wait.
Just because of that.
But I put the pressure on him.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You got to do that. But at the same time, you know, the expectations got bigger for me, and they haven't lived up to them. And so at some point, you got to figure out, okay, how long does this go on? How long do we continue to string this out? And you have a stadium to try to increase attendance, which is not happening on most nights. It's a difficult situation. And you can only tap the donors that you've tapped before so many times before you run out of money that way. So anyway, it's interesting when you compare it to Penn State. Penn State takes their share of criticism for not winning the bigger games, but they do win just about every other game they're supposed to win. Therefore, they're going to be in a playoff this year because they're going to beat Maryland on Saturday, and they're going to be in. And it was not an impressive win against Minnesota, but no. I give them guts because at the end they did something that they had to do to win it. But when you win the other games, just like Pitt did this year when they were 7-0, they were winning the games they were supposed to win, right?
Well, they were. I mean, they went for it three times on fourth down, including on the final drive, including a fake punt. I mean, I've been very critical of James Franklin, but he gets his flowers from me and his congratulations on that. And, I mean, his buyout's around $70 million. Not many people would have tried to move off of him. But, yeah, I mean, that's the difference, I think, between the two programs. Winning the games that you're supposed to win, but also more so consistency.
Right.
Which, with Narduzzi, it's just been kind of like a ride at Kennywood. Where's that consistent flow?
Yeah, and I don't know if they're going to make a decision about him this year. I don't. Even if they lose their final two, they lose to BC in a bowl game, they'll end up 7-6, which would be a colossal collapse. But again, the money issues trump everything else for me.
Yeah, it's not really about this year, though. And I'm back, Bob. Everything went well.
I see.
I'm sorry that you didn't ask me how it went.
I didn't have a chance. You just sat down.
I know. It went well.
How did it go, Joe?
Good.
Okay.
She was only slightly mad at me, which is an improvement on every other day.
She should come in here and sit down and watch you in action.
She should have. This isn't only about 1 year, though. This is about...
This is why, by the way, don't you hate these contracts that come up for no reason? He had time left on a previous contract.
I know.
They extended even further.
I know.
In this day of NIL transfer, do we really need... The logic with signing coaches in college used to be, well, you want your recruits to know that they're going to be there for a long time. That's gone by the wayside. That does not occur anymore because recruits come and go as they please.
I defended it at the time. I thought that Pitt had stabilized and that they had reached a place where they were pretty good.
But why do they have to go pretty that good. Far in advance with a contract?
I know. I just thought stability's sake for a program that was really scarred by the lack of stability there for a long time. And he's completely underperformed. I mean, look, go back to his whole tenure. 8-5, 8-5, 5-7, 7-7, 8-5, 6-5. Then you have the 11-3, followed by a 9-4, which was actually kind of disappointing to me. Then a 3-9 and a 7-4. So let's take out the 3-9 and the 11-3. You take out the best and the worst, and you have just what I said. You basically have a 500 team against major college competition, right. Basically.
And if you look at their ratings, where they are, they're in the 50 to 70 range.
You can't live with that. You just can't, Bob. And if I would move on from Narduzzi. I'm guessing Alan Green would move on from Narduzzi. I'm guessing bunches of donors would too, except are they willing to pony up some money here? That's the question. It's a financial question because Pitt does not appear to be awash in liquid assets, Bob? Well,
but you can only tap so many people who have the big-time money, and those guys maybe have been tapped already. How much time do you want to keep tapping them? You know, at some point you have to – success will breed more of this. If you had success, more people would be more inclined – to contribute to the program. It used to be you contribute to the athletic program. Now you have to contribute to specific players to keep them around. So it's a whole new ball game, and I don't know that it's going to get any easier for Pitt at all. I just don't.
I think it's time to move on, and I think you make a big statement if you can find. And by the way, I mean, it's not like they don't pay their coach either. He's the fourth highest paid coach in the ACC, if I'm not mistaken. So it seems when Pitt needs to find money, they do find it. Limits, what did you say? I must have missed it. Would you keep him, yes or no?
I would keep him for another year. He signed for $4.5 million a year. I feel like, and I was telling Bob this, the financial constraints that these whole athletic department seems to be under right now with Victory Heights and not being able to properly figure out what the money was going to be and who was going to finance it, I think will also be a factor in this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who's signing the check, Joe? Like, is Lewis Riddick signing a big deal, or a big CEO of a company signing the deal to get Pat Narduzzi out the door? I also think the question also has to be with Pitt. What is Pitt's realistic ceiling and realistic expectations year to year?
It's got to be over. It's got to be better than under 500
it
against
has to
major
be better
college
than that.
Competition for multiple years. Go right now. Take out his best and worst seasons, and I bet you'll find Narduzzi is slightly above 500. It's got to be above that. That's.
But we've said that with other coaches here.
What is the ceiling? What is the ceiling?
The ceiling has been the same. It's a cycle.
It's not this, Bob. It's got to be above 500.
Well, I agree, but it's been hard to attain on a consistent basis. They had the 1 year. They couldn't back it up.
I mean, they fired Wani after he went 9-4, 10-3, and 8-5. That's 27 and 12.
That was Peterson, and there was a different dynamic
and I think it was justified because at the time, I thought Pitt had a higher level to get to. This guy has not brought them there, although he did bring them their first outright conference title. They fired Dave Wannstedt.
Well, how much honeymoon time do you give him on that, though?
None.
On winning one?
No more.
Right. That was a few years ago. So now you're in a situation where, listen,
Was the Wannstedt tenure better than this? Or do you have to say this one because they have the outright conference title?
The championship gives them an edge. But, you know, if Pitt had beaten Cincinnati on that game, remember when it was?
Yeah, but they didn't.
They didn't. But if that game was theirs, for they had a big lead. They let
or he won the Peach Bowl with just, you know, a backup
Gilliard
quarterback.
Was the guy who killed him on that.
I agreed with moving on from Wani, but this isn't good enough. This is not good enough. I mean, you get rid of a guy who was 27-12 in his last 3 years because you think you can get higher.
How about how you contrast this with James Franklin now? All of a sudden, people have forgotten largely about their loss to Ohio State.
I don't think they've forgotten.
No, they're going to be the third seed in the college football playoff.
They'll forget right quick if they win a playoff game.
They'll be the sixth seed.
That's my
point about them. They do win the games they're supposed to win, and as a result, they get there.
Did you see what he did the other day?
Yeah, he went out
with
of character.
Punt,
with the
fake
punt,
the going
he had
for
to
it.
Do it, right? It was
He's
a big
the guy
play.
Going for the win with everything to lose, and the other guy is playing it safe.
So,
P.J. Fleck.
If yep. they get
eating this, gum off the
much
turf,
not much
that?
Of a flex in that game. What's he doing?
They're rowing the boat. I was concerned about this game.
I give Franklin a lot of credit
for
how he coached late in that game because he would have been shredded.
The other thing, now this playoff's all messed up. They had five teams that were ranked, all lost. Who knows how it's going? Georgia just a week ago was out of this thing, and now they're all the way back up apparently into the top five.
Well, somebody
because
needs,
they took advantage of all these losses.
It was crazy, and Penn State avoided that.
Right, they could have fallen prey to that, and they didn't.
Just wait until three-loss Alabama finds a way to get in.
Somebody needs to do a piece on the financial viability of moving on from Pat Narduzzi. I don't feel like it anymore, Bob. I'm too tired. I used to be the savvy old news hound. It's got to be a piece because his record warrants Pitt moving on. It warrants firing him. It's very simple. I think that's almost inarguable.
But the contract will prevent that from happening right now.
Well, what if you reach an agreement with him on a buyout?
How about if he says no? How about this?
Then what's his buyout?
Well, I don't know what his buyout is, but I guarantee it's pretty significant.
We need to find out his buyout.
It's got to be $20 million or more.
Searching. Call somebody. Who would know? Pittsburgh Sports Now. Call Mike Vakovkin, Alan Saunders. Call the Noah Constrictor, Destiny's Child, Chris Carter. Who covers Pitt for the Jerry DePaula, for God's sakes? Call somebody.
It's got to be significant, and I don't know that he's going to give them any breaks. When Kevin Stallings left here, he got $9 million, and he had zero success
whatsoever. Find the money is what I would say. Find the money. You know, if you take yourself seriously as a football program and your guy is under 500 except for one shining season
Isn't it funny how
against
the
major
Bell,
college competition, then let's
the one
go
thing
here.
Narduzzi has done, he's constantly changed his offensive coordinators, and there are times when he throws them under the bus. Cade Bell came in here, and everything was hunky-dory to start this season when they were doing different things, speeding up play, and all this. Now, all of a sudden, that kind of has gone in a different direction. And I don't know how many times you keep changing coaches and expect, you know, results to change quickly because it takes some time.
All right. I don't know.
We haven't even talked about the Penguin
this.
Situation well, as it
next.
Relates to this because it does relate to this.
412-928-9370. Man, it's now been proven over decades that this is This is a difficult football, college football market. You're competing with the Pittsburgh Steelers, for God's sakes. It's a pro town. You're playing in a pro stadium. I still want an on-campus stadium. I don't care what people say. I know there's no place to build it. That doesn't take away the fact that the idea of one would be an unbelievable boon to Pitt.
Especially at a limited capacity.
Yeah.
So you create
that's
demand.
The whole idea. Yeah. Be unbelievable. And it's just a mediocre program. That's all it is in the end. Incredible mediocrity. One shining year, and the 7 years around that, this guy has an under 500 record. 7 years under 500 against major college competition. They give us some great players. Some great players. They give us some great moments. Is that all you can ask for from Pitt? Let's get to the phone lines on Narduzzi and move on to our town's other embattled coach, Mike Sullivan. Limits, please.
Let's go to Jim in Jefferson.
Hey, Jim. What's up?
Good afternoon. You know, I think we're a little bit too hard on Narduzzi this year. You know, considering last year he was 3-9, this year he had 7-0 before he hit some issues. And I'll tell you what, that Clemson game was anybody's game. And what didn't help us is the fact that we lost Carter in that game.
Yeah, but when you say the issues, he had issues. What are the issues, Jim? What issues are you there?
Well, the issues this year is a lot of injuries on the offensive line, number one.
But that had,
we didn't even have our starting center for that game.
SMU had some injuries too.
We lost. That was a significant injury, okay? And we also had Carter went out. And then also they're trying to redshirt Hammond right now, which I think is a stupid idea. I don't agree with that. And I'm not impressed with Cade Bell and some of the calls that were made and the confusion that goes on.
It doesn't seem like they're communicating.
Well, Narduzzi hired him, but he's only been here 1 year now.
Yeah, not
even. We're getting a whole new system, and you guys are awfully hard on him for 1 year.
It's not 1 year. It's not 1 year. It's not 1 year.
No.
It's seven years. You take out the picket year.
How many games do you go to, Starkey?
Who cares how many games I go to? I'm like everybody else. None. Huh?
You don't even watch the Pitt games.
I do watch the Pitt games. Every week.
Do you?
Yeah, every single week.
It's surprising.
Yeah, why? No. I'm surprised.
I had 10 season tickets.
My condolences.
10 season tickets on 51
I'm surprised that you would. I'm surprised you wouldn't know that Narduzzi's under 500 is past 7 years other than the picket year, and you're sitting here defending him.
Look, we don't have the money to quash another contract right now. We've got to get NIL.
Well, that's
money.
An entirely different topic. Is he doing a good job or no?
I think this year he's done a pretty good job, but he's had a lot of injuries and a lot of things to contend with.
How about last year?
And I think, last year was a fiasco. Okay,
yeah.
It was a fiasco last year, and I'm not sure the issues there. And part of it was the offensive coordinator. Okay.
Well, he goes through a lot of offensive coordinators, I'll say that.
Yes, he does.
Bob, I noticed Jim and Jefferson doesn't go after you the way he goes after me, huh?
Well, I mean,
I don't know. I like Bob Pian. I'm glad he's on the radio now. I'll tell you what, Yarnell last year played a nice game against BC, and that's one of the games we won. So let's give him a shot this week. But I hope they get another big back, because I'll tell you what, Reed is not big enough, in my opinion, okay, to handle Power 5, having him as the feature back. He's good. Put him outside. Use him as a slot receiver. Do something with him to get him outside.
Yeah, but there's even no guarantee that he may be back.
Well, Jim, let me just take a moment here.
Who knows how this is going to work?
Take a listen for a second. Let's throw out Narduzzi's best and worst years. So 11-3 and 3-9. And then I'm going to read to you his records against major college competition, okay? 7-5, 7-5, 4-7, 6-7, 7-5, 5-5, 8-4, and this year 6-4. Is that good enough
hold on, Starkey. Let's talk about when you say major competition. Did you see some of the teams the SEC played this past week?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, Well, you're talking about his record, and you're saying against major competition.
Yeah. You throw out the Wofford's of the world.
You're giving me total records. Well, you just gave one was a 5-5. I don't know what the other teams were there. But I got to tell you that the SEC plays a lot of crap teams, too. Okay, they build their records on that. You watch them in the beginning of the year.
Jim, I'll be honest with you. I appreciate you listening. You sound like a hopeless Narduzzi apologist. You act like 3-9 last year, came out of nowhere.
I'm not a hopeless Narduzzi.
Yeah, you are. You actually are.
I loved Wonstead.
Yeah.
51 years, I've seen it all, buddy.
Okay. Well, now you've seen a lot of mediocre football, then. You want to keep the coach.
I'm sure of that.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, Jim. You struck a nerve with Jim.
Clearly.
No, but it's hard to defend that because that's exactly what it's been. It's just been a bunch of average football, and it's 10 years running now. Yeah, there was a great year. Yeah, there was a really bad year. And in between, it's a lot of the same.
See, here's the thing I can't stand with them or the Pirates when people say, oh, he was 3-9 last year. You got to compare it to that. No, I don't. So if he was 0-12 last year and he's 4-8 this year, am I going to sing his praises? You don't get the benefit of being compared to having an unbelievably crap season. It's like when the Pirates go, you know, from whatever they were a couple years ago. Oh, they went from 68 to 74. I don't care. They don't get the benefit of that 68-win season where they weren't even trying to win as a baseline for everybody to judge their progress off of. Screw that.
No, and they came out and said it's time to make the playoffs. Okay, if that's your goal, then you fell short again. And it's the same thing with Pitt. You get to a point where you compete for an ACC, you want to make that a regular, and believe me, in this conference, they should be able to compete for ACC championships. There aren't that many great teams, elite teams. Clemson used to be. They're not anymore, I don't think. Miami's good, but how good are they? They've come close to losing. They should be competitive by now after the success they had back in Kenny Pickett's days and parlay that into something
on a
consistent basis.
All I heard then was that Narduzzi was taking, and I was believing a little bit of it myself, Narduzzi was taking the program to another level. Pickett, then 9 wins, and here we go. And then in year 9, he goes 3-9. Year 9 of Pat Narduzzi, he goes 3-9. And now he gets to benefit off that by singing his praises for going 7-4 when they didn't beat anybody. They beat nobody. And they're sitting here at 7-4, probably going to be 7-5, 3-5 in the conference. And we're going to compare it to last year and compliment him. It's been mostly mediocrity. It's been mostly just mediocre football as you really look at it for pretty much the entire Narduzzi regime.
And
the
as numbers a result
speak
of that,
to it. That's really not an opinion.
He's gotten
that's
a couple
fact.
Of extensions that take them into a precarious situation with regard to how much money they can afford if they want to make a change. If they want to make a change, they owe a lot of money in a buyout. We'll find out what that money is at some point. But it's significant. And for a team that needs money in the NIL era, that's hard to do.
Too hard.
So
on
my prediction is that he will stay for another year, and we'll see where they go.
I wouldn't be surprised at that. It's probably my prediction, too. But I would wonder what Alan Green really thinks about what he wants to do with the football program. And more to the point, I wonder if he sat down with the Pitt people. Don't you make that part of your plea? Like, do I have carte blanche here to move on from?
He has to be if he's taking that job, I would imagine, and that'd be one of my requirements.
Me too.
So, do I get to choose, or are you going to make my choices for me?
If your football program is beholden to your coach's contract no matter what and no matter how mediocre it gets, how is that a good job for an AD to come in here? Well, why would you want that job? And more to the point, what are we doing here? Are we trying to win in football or no?
Yeah, what's the end game? The end game has got to be competing for a championship.
Yeah, we signed him to all those years. So if he went 0-12 the last 3 years, would that be what we were saying here? Yeah, can't fire him. You just can't. He's locked in.
But it is a stumbling area for sure. It is.
It's mediocrity. It's since the Pickett year, they're under 500. And yes, I'll say
it's a spin cycle that hasn't changed, and this goes back decades. It's not anything different. It's the same.
This is worse, Bob.
But I'm saying the collective numbers are the same.
Yeah, they're basically the same.
Right.
They're basically the same. Although they've really hit the point, man, did that year really, really saved him, didn't it? And I do give him credit for that year. It's just that the years before it and the years after it have been right around 500, and that's just not good enough. And I thought, like I said, I thought we were heading into a new era where Pitt was building off that and Narduzzi was taking it to another level. He did. He took it down a level or four, right?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be even harder in the next couple of years.
Since Pickett walked out the door, they're 16 and 17 against major colleges. Sorry that I throw out Wofford and Youngstown State.
No, you should throw out Wofford and Youngstown State.
Jim went after me there. He called me smartass, Bob. Did you hear that, Limits?
Oh, yes, I did. I was eagerly awaiting to potentially have to dump
him. Did
you
have your hand on the delete button or the dump button there? Because I thought maybe it went down that.
It was getting very close.
So is Annie calling me an idiot or Jim from Jefferson calling me a smartass? Which one was better, Bob?
Idiot was...
Can you compare that to smartass when he said that? Find that. We'll go with that.
All right. Now, switching to the Penguins, since it's a similar situation, you brought it up. See, I think the Penguins made a choice. It was as simple as this. When Malkin and Letang were up for contract extensions, they were later in their careers.
Yeah.
You saw where this was headed. They chose to double down. They, meaning Fenway Group, right?
Right.
They chose to bring him back. They could have saved money. They could have saved substantial money and gone into free agency. We had talked a lot about Vincent Trocheck. Vincent Trocheck, I think, wanted to come here, but once Malkin resigned, and he knew that there was really no way for that to happen, given what he was looking for, so he ends up going to the Rangers. But it's not just him. I don't think they would have made the trade for Carlson had they done that. I think they could have planned, keep Crosby, surround him with younger people, better people, and use the money that we're saving to do it. They chose another direction.
Did they choose another direction, or did they simply... they go along with what Sid wants?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, clearly Sid wanted to keep the core intact. They've all mentioned that, right? And he loves the coach. So if you get rid of the coach, do you alienate Sid?
So if you're the Fenway Sports Group and has this, and you think that the best plan for us is to move on from these two, you're just going to say whatever Sid wants we'll do, or how much pushback do you have as an organization?
And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that.
But do you understand what I'm saying? If they had done it.
Yeah, but what against whose wishes?
Again, if it makes Crosby better, maybe he would have bought into it. At some point, you have to understand it's going to come to an end.
There's no way that Sid buys into moving on from Geno and Letang.
Well, I don't think we'll know the answer to that until who knows when. But I'm saying, the course would have been that's the course we're taking. We're going to bring in younger players who are good, can add to Crosby. We're not going to, and I honestly, Joe, I don't think they would have made that trade for Carlson had they done that.
That would have been great, but that's all in the past now.
I know it is.
What do you do with Sullivan?
Well, that's a question. We've seen Boston twice. Bruce Cassidy had a lot of success in Boston. Jim Montgomery's had a lot of success in Boston. They got rid of both quickly. Cassidy goes, gets immediate another job, wins a Stanley Cup. Montgomery, 5 days after he's fired, St. Louis decides we're getting rid of our coach, not because we wanted to get rid of our coach, because we wanted to bring in somebody better.
Yeah.
The question you have to answer is, how much say does a new coach have? How much can he push an older team like this? Would it make that much of a difference right now? Do you think it would? Could it change?
I think it could, sure. That's why you change coaches. I'm tired of people talking about this team like there's no talent. There is talent here. There is talent.
You know, I don't know about deep talent. I think beyond the core players.
Enough talent where you could win with it. There should be. Except now you have a situation where you have guys with one foot out the door. Nobody's defending
each
other.
The way they've been playing, though, it's hard to watch because I don't see it getting any easier coming up.
Would you fire Sullivan?
You know, I would consider all of that, yes.
Yes, I would too.
And I'd have to look at, you know, exactly what my end game is moving forward, because I don't think it's immediate change. I don't think anything's going to change this year. I don't. I just don't think. I think their goaltending situation.
Do you just let him sink to the bottom with them then?
No, I'm saying they could do that. What I'm saying do you think a new person coming in here is going to be enough shock treatment to turn them into a team that can contend and win?
Did you think when Sully came in here with the Mike Johnston situation?
Yes, I did, because that was a younger group of guys. And I thought still they had – it's a different view now. These guys are older. You still need contributing people.
Then you
people.
Might as well just go down with the ship. Let him go down with the ship.
Okay, maybe that's what's going to happen.
But I can tell you almost every coach in NHL history would have been fired by now, coming off two disappointing seasons and starting this. And it would have happened today, if not a couple weeks ago. They just lost to the Utah Hockey Club. I mean, this is 6-1. This is just painful and sad and embarrassing to watch. It really is. And there's a lot that goes into it. There is. I mean, Kyle Dubas, if you grade, you know, 7 or 8 of his signings, Tristan Jarry signing, F, Adam Graves signing, F, Riley Smith, F, Grayslick, F, Nieto, F, Achari, F, re-signing Nedeljkovic, F, Carlson trade. That's a 0 points. Yeah. He's Kyle Blutarski at this point, Bob.
Okay, but maybe the marching orders were double down, we're signing these guys, bring more talent in, let's win now. We have
Clearly.
One more chance.
Yeah.
That's not worked out at all.
No.
So the question is, what do you do now? That's the question. And to me, you need an influx of talent. They have 29 draft picks coming up in the next 3 years. But the problem with that is, to me, how many third, fourth, fifth round draft picks in the NHL ever make it to get to a point where they're significant contributors? I don't think you need high-end draft picks. To your point all the time about selling off to get to a point where you can get a generational player. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can parlay those picks. The idea is to have a high quantity of them, and then you see guys like Gensel and Rust and plenty of other guys come around after round one. You do see that.
You do, but it's not as likely and as guaranteed.
Maybe
as
the biggest question of all is, what does Sid want and what will they do?
Right.
What about that situation? Because none of those guys are going to help in the Sid era. A third round pick in 2026.
No, they're stuck with what they have. And I'll throw this out, but I don't know that it's up to Sidney Crosby to decide what he wants to do. Do you ever see a point where he just says, you know what? I don't want my career to end like this.
Wonder what he wants. And he's such a competitor that you think that he probably believes he can still win with some of the talent around him.
You can't deny that there's
talent here. There is. But is it working here? Like Erik Karlsson is a wildly talented player. Letang's still a very talented player. Mm-hmm. Rust, Sid, Malkin, Raquel. They've got enough talent, I think, to at least compete for a playoff spot. Jarry is a talented kid who's fallen apart. Why? Why did he just fall apart? Now you have the backup goalie as the team spokesman. Did anybody tell him he's no good either?
Well, here's
Look at his numbers.
Now, here's a dilemma specific to goaltending. So what do? They have Jarry who signed long-term. The best result would be you got to play him every day here and hope he turns it around so that they can potentially do something with him. The best goalie in their system is Blomqvist. But he's not here right now. He should be here right now, but you can't carry three goaltenders like they did because it affects your cap. So what do you do? How do you,
You're starting to talk me into just have this implode like it's not already to degrees that we've never seen before.
No, we've seen him before.
So don't trade anybody. Don't trade anybody. Just let this go and sink to the very bottom. Don't move the coach. Don't ask any of these guys if they'll rework or waive their no movement, no trades. Don't even trade the guys who could be traded. Just let it sink to the very bottom. I'm starting to think that.
All I'm saying is that they are stuck. They really are stuck right here. They don't, because I don't think anything's going to solve what's been happening. Do you think Malkin or Letang would agree to be traded?
Not Malkin. Maybe Letang. When you read like Josh Yeowie, he believes that the only chance would be Letang. Here's the part I can't figure out. Why, if you're Erik Karlsson, would you want to stay? What's here for you? Why wouldn't you want to go to a different team? Do you have any attachment at all to Pittsburgh? This has been an unqualified disaster.
Oh, he's contributed
from day one.
To it also, though.
Well, no, that's what I'm... He's been an unqualified disaster. And he's contributed to them being one. Why can't you approach him and say, Erik, this is only going to get worse. You're welcome to stay, but it's only going to get worse. I'm inviting you to leave. Why, if you're Karlsson, would you say, no, thanks, I'd rather stay? Why would you?
comfortability, if he's comfortable here. I don't know why. But the thing, if I were in charge, I'd be trying to get rid of some payroll money as best I can. They brought it in. It's their mess. They got to clean it up, and that's where it would start. Because when you go into the offseason, there are players you can bring in here who can help you as free agents, but they got to be the right signings. So far, they haven't done that. And you're right. All those ones you mentioned have not worked out at all. It's
no,
money.
The Kyle Dubas era has been a disaster. He had plenty of money to spend. He had plenty of latitude. The idea that he came here in handcuffs is a joke. He spent tens of millions of dollars, signed bunches of free agents, made a trade for a 100-point Norris Trophy winning defenseman, and it all failed. So let's not let him off the hook either. He's been a disaster.
Yeah, so now they're in a handcuff position, and I'm going to be anxious to see what happens because at this point I don't think anything's going to change. But how long do they continue to do that? The later you wait, the worse it gets for this
more,
year.
I'm telling you, the more that you talk, I'm starting to buy into the idea of just letting it sink to the bottom. Just watching it sink to the bottom. And the other thing is, there's so many tentacles to this. The other thing is, this ownership group, it's just so, I've used this, and Yoe used it the other day, corporate. It really is. Like, is there somebody in ownership who lives and dies with the Penguins? I had somebody, a former Penguin executive, tell me when this whole thing went down with FSG that Pittsburgh and Penguins like family. This is not family. This is corporate. Next thing you know, Mario, of all people, isn't even part of this anymore, seemingly because he's pissed off at them. That's what it seemed like. And now you just have this corporate, seemingly non-personal, non-attached entity running the Penguins. And if they were winning, it'd be great. I get that. But they're not, and that becomes part of the story. You know, Bob?
Yeah, I as far as the ownership, you don't see anyone in town for them. They're not.
Who's making
engaging
the decisions? Tom Werner?
Yeah, I don't
know. His son? I don't know.
But they have to make some tough ones, and they've signed, Sullivan signed longer term, and so is Dubas, longest term. I mean, he isn't responsible enough for digging this out or having a plan forward. I don't know what that plan exactly
is. They're becoming a blight on FSG's portfolio. I know that. And they maybe should have come in here with eyes a little wider open that, oh my God, the core of this team is getting really old.
But again, to me, the way to go at that point when those contracts expired, yes, you wouldn't have gotten anything from Malkin and Letang in terms of draft picks or anything like that because they were free agents to be, but you would have reduced the salary completely. You could have used all that money for something else at the time.
It all feels too corporate to me. I agree with you there, but it's too late for that.
It's too late for
something
that.
Something about Kyle Dubas has been given rein to bring in all these new people. Analytics on top of analytics. You saw this Jari thing, and I'm not against analytics, by the way. This Jari thing where how many different guys are working with him? He goes out to Western Canada. He's quoted as saying, I'm looking forward to seeing my family. Then they rip him off the trip in the middle of the trip, and they say that was planned. Well, why'd he give people that quote then?
Yeah,
how did he know he was going to do that? And then I heard somebody say, and I agree with it, oh, here's your slip, Tristan, like it might have went like this. You're to report to the Department of Goaltending, it's so corporate, Bob. It really is. Did you ever hear the story of Bartleby the Scrivener?
No.
It's a Herman Melville short story. He got caught in the corporate world. He was an office worker. He showed up every day in his suit, went through his 8-hour day at his desk, and then he suddenly snapped. And little Bartleby, whenever somebody would give him an order, you know what he would say to his bosses? I would prefer not to. He rebelled against the corporate culture, Bob. There's a horrible ending to that story, by the way. But there is to this one, too. I just think it's sad to see the Penguins turn into this sort of, what's the best word for it? Non-personal, non-family, corporate.
It's a corporate. The word is it's a corporate world of hockey existence. They bought it as an asset.
Yeah.
I was actually a little surprised that they bought it at the price they bought it at.
Where it was headed. Yeah. Yes. Where everyone knew where it was headed.
But then, again, they doubled down on what they had, and they thought it could extend itself not just 1, 2, or 3 years, but 4-year deals. I mean, that's, you're expecting a lot out of guys who are going to be 40 years old. And we've seen this story told before from the Red Wings. You remember how they had Zetterberg and Datsyuk,
yeah,
and they haven't been in the playoffs since. It just ends at some point. Chicago with Taves and Kane and who else? Anaheim. All of those stories have the same conclusion when you wait long.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. You want to weigh in on the Penguins, Narduzzi? You know, part of me feels like we give Mike Sullivan tons of excuses with all of that talk. So to really simplify, I can't imagine almost any other coach in the history of the league surviving what he is now surviving. Two really disappointing seasons, non-playoff seasons, followed by a historically embarrassing start, and he's still the coach.